We're going to begin in Genesis, and we're going to preach all the way through Revelation. All in one message. Praise God. That's right. You know, in 1 Corinthians, it was obvious that the Corinthians had sent to Paul and asked him questions about certain topics or subjects that were heavy on their minds and thoughts. And so he begins to deal with those things when he says, and now concerning virgins and the subject of spiritual gifts, and you know, from chapter to chapter, this is what he talks about. Now concerning this, now concerning that. So he is actually answering their questions. So tonight, I want to do that. I want to answer a question that was raised, and I thought it was a good question and worthy of us giving a whole night to, because while I've talked about it before in passing, I never really devoted a whole message to it. Tonight, we ask the question, what about UFOs? What about UFOs? What about that? Well, what sparked it is that just recently, the Vatican astronomer, the Pope's astronomer, I didn't even know the Pope had an astronomer, but there is actually an official Vatican astronomer. He made a rather startling statement and released it to the press. It was published in the Vatican newspaper. He said, this is what he said, intelligent, advanced forms of life on other planets is possible. In fact, I've got his statement right here. He's Father Gabriel Funes, F-U-N-E-S, said intelligent beings created by God could exist in outer space. Father Funes, director of the Vatican Observatory near Rome, is a respected scientist who collaborates with universities around the world. The search for forms of extraterrestrial life, ETs they call it, extraterrestrial, he says, does not contradict a belief in God. The official Vatican newspaper headlines his article, Aliens Are My Brother. Listen to this. This is his quote. Just as there are multiple forms of life on Earth, so there could exist intelligent beings in outer space created by God, and some aliens could even be free from original sin, he speculates. Yeah, they're ETs, they're extraterrestrials. So, right. They could have been created, you know. If you have a belief that man gradually evolved, because that is a requirement for a belief in extraterrestrials, if you have a belief that man gradually evolved, what's to say God did not create other, you know, in other planets and other universes, beings maybe a billion years before he created man? Then these beings would have evolved, they'd be highly intelligent, and there would be a whole lot that they could teach us. As they speculate, these beings to us would be almost godlike. So they could visit us in flying saucers or flying cigar-shaped objects or whatever, as many people speculate. The fact of the matter is, a lot of people have a lot of questions about UFOs, about extraterrestrials. Could there, this is a question we want to address tonight. Now I want you to listen, because what I'm going to tell you tonight is absolute, is dogmatic, and is irrefutable if you are a Bible believer. There's only one position you can take on this. You can't take a myriad of positions. Could there be intelligent, advanced forms of life, extraterrestrials on other planets, beings that are not from this world, beings, you know, that were perhaps created by God millions of years ago or whatever? Is it possible that we could be visited by beings from other planets, you know, that the UFOs and so forth. Is that possible? And if that's possible, or if we allow ourselves to think in that direction, is such a belief, do you believe that UFOs are possible, extraterrestrials are possible, is such a belief compatible with a belief in the God of the Bible? Or is it incompatible? Can you believe in both? Can you believe in God, in Christ, in the Bible, and believe in extraterrestrials and UFOs? And certainly, this is a subject that has captured the imagination, the minds, the thoughts, the speculations of multitudes of people through the centuries. Just consider this. How many books have been written about UFOs? You couldn't count them. That's right. Books about UFOs, magazine articles about UFOs, radio programs about UFOs. Sometimes I drive my car in the wee hours of the morning, like if I'm going down to meet somebody at a fishing boat or whatever. And there's this guy on WWL, his whole broadcast is, this guy is one of the major UFO promoters, I guess you'd say, in the country. But how many movies have been made about UFOs? Some of the biggest blockbusters of all time were about UFOs, extraterrestrials, E.T., War of the Worlds, and so on, and TV shows, and radio broadcasts, and how many newspapers report UFO sightings? And they report them quite commonly. Look, this is not something that happened once or twice, but UFO sightings from all over the world. And not all of the people who report seeing UFOs are drunks and, drug addicts and all that. They have been some pretty credible witnesses who actually witnessed things like this. Even reports of UFO abductions, quite a few people abducted by UFOs, taken up into the saucer, examined by alien beings and so forth. Is it all a prank? Is it all a hoax? Is it all a drunken stupor or a figment of somebody's imagination? Is it all a bad dream? Is it all explainable by natural phenomena? It was, solar lights, it was a flare, it was a weather balloon, it was aircraft, it was a mirror, it was whatever. Or some of these things unexplainable. Most UFO sightings are actually explainable by natural phenomena. But there are a number of them that cannot be explained. Even if you could explain 99% of them and say, well, it was a weather balloon, it was a solar flare, it was somebody's prank. One of them was somebody released weather balloons with some kind of lights tied to it, just released them, and boy, people reported UFOs all over the place. Even if 99% of them were explained away as natural phenomena or explainable, there would still be thousands and thousands of cases that defied natural explanations. I've got a quote here from a fellow who says, of those left that you could not explain, if they're not hoaxes, hallucinations, or some natural or man-made phenomena, then what are they? Most UFO researchers either hold to the extraterrestrial hypothesis, that is, they believe UFOs are beings that come from other planets, they visit us from other planets, or they hold to a different hypothesis, and that is that they come from another dimension, maybe another time even. Maybe they're visitors from our future or something like that. They could be time travelers and so on and so forth. But this belief is so widespread in UFOs that there are today dozens, probably hundreds, of UFO religions. Did you know that there are actual religions that were founded on a belief in extraterrestrials? Entire religions. Well, you're aware of some of them. Heaven's Gate. Remember the Heaven's Gate religion where all these people committed suicide? They believed that that would be their ticket to get on the mothership. They committed suicide so that they could get on the mothership. I read today, in fact, today I went to the website of something called the Aetherius Society. The Aetherius Society. It was founded back in the 1950s by, what was that fellow's name? George King, I think. I can't even remember his name. But yeah, That's it, George King. He believed that he was being contacted by a being from another planet, and he became a channel. The being channeled everything through him. Now this thing becomes a religion. There are thousands and thousands of followers all over the world of the Aetherius Society. They practice what they claim is a new form of yoga. The beings communicate with them by telepathy. Beings from other planets, higher, they evolve to a higher state. Or what about the Nation of Islam? Did you know that the Nation of Islam believes that a UFO mothership is going to come for them? Louis Farrakhan, what's that? Yeah, with the bow ties, the bow tie guys. Yeah, he has taught. In fact, I'm going to quote something from Louis Farrakhan. He says, "The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the actual founder of the Nation of Islam, he told us of a giant mother plane that is made like the universe, spheres within spheres. White people call them UFOs. Ezekiel saw a wheel that looked like a cloud by day, but a pillar of fire by night." I don't know what he's confused with. I think he was confusing Elijah with the book of Exodus. But then he goes on and on talking about this big circular plane, the mother wheel, like a human planet, and on he goes, carries bombs. He believes that. Yeah, he carries bombs, I guess, to bomb the rebellious. But then there's this religion called Raelian. Have you ever heard of the Raelian movement? Anybody ever heard of that? It's the largest UFO religion in the world. But these people believe that Earth actually was created by aliens from another planet. They manipulated genetics and so on and so forth, and created the world. They claim to have actually cloned a human being. The Raelians, they're all over the world, thousands and thousands and thousands of them. They have some pretty bizarre beliefs. They believe in free sex. Nudity is their official costume. Well, how about this one? You've heard of this UFO religion, Scientology. Scientology is a UFO religion. It's all about extraterrestrial civilizations and alien attacks and so on. Listen to this. They believe that Xenu was a leader, a ruler of the Galactic Confederacy. Now, this guy lived before Star Wars, but he brought billions of frozen aliens to Earth 75 million years ago. He stacked them around volcanoes, and they were blown up with hydrogen bombs. So, this is what Dianetics and, L. Ron Hubbard and all that kind of stuff, that's what he's about. So he teaches that all human beings have experienced multiple past lives, and we have traumatic memories from these terrible past lives, and that's why we go through all the trauma and stress. And if you've got problems, it's because of your past lives. It's because you still have these thetans in you that were part of being blown up, 75 million years ago around the volcanoes and all that kind of stuff. So you have to be audited by the Scientology process. They hook you up to an e-meter and they try to get rid of all those bad thetans until you become eventually clear. So you pay exorbitant amounts of money to go through each auditing process, and then you move a little bit further up, you get rid of more and more thetans, and you become more and more clear. And L. Ron Hubbard said, when you die, you will go to a landing station on the planet Venus, where we are told terrible lies about our past life and our next life. And then the Venetians take our thetan soul, capsule it, and send it back to Earth to be dumped in the ocean off the coast of California. And then we have to look around for a new body to inhabit. Now, this is an inconvenience. And if you want to avoid that, this is what L. Ron Hubbard said. When you die, just refuse to go to Venus. Just refuse to go. You know, do you know that not just tens of thousands, this is a religion that influences hundreds of thousands of people. This is what they believe, this kind of stuff they believe. They can't believe in Christ. They can't believe in Christ, no. So stuff like this, they can believe. They can follow that. Absolutely. They buy it hook, line, and sinker. Hook, line, and sinker. Absolutely. L. Ron Hubbard, the founder of Scientology, used to write science fiction before he decided to start a religion. He wrote science fiction and cowboy novels, and then he made a statement back in the 50s that he said, if you really want to get rich, start your own religion. And that's what he did. And then there's a whole bunch of others, the Unarius Society, the Universe People, and on, there's dozens of these things, religions that were formed around UFOs. But here we come back to this question. Couldn't God have created intelligent life on other planets? I mean, he's God, right? So couldn't he have created life on other planets as well as on Earth? And if we have a universe that is so big that we still can't find the end of it, and there are galaxies beyond galaxies and solar systems beyond our solar systems, then why not, amongst these billions of stars, could there not be multiplied billions and trillions of planets, and surely some of them must be inhabited by other beings? I mean, God created all of that for something, right? And so here you have the Vatican spokesman saying, look, it's not incompatible with Christian thought to believe in UFOs, that there could be life on other planets. However, and certainly we believe that God created everything, sun, moon, stars, planets, whole universe, everything. Everything that is, God created. It's here because God created it, right? So everything is created by God. Now, this earth where he created mankind, the physical life as we know it, he created mankind. This earth is where the Creator God came as a man, right? He became one of us. He became human, walked among us, lived among us. He died for the sins of the man that he created, mankind, humanity. Right here, this earth, he died for our sins, resurrected from the grave, and forever remains the God-man. He is forever the God-man, forever. Now, that's something to absorb in itself. That's a thought to absorb in itself, because if there are multiple, let's just say if there's billions of universes out there, there could be life on many other planets. God created them too, right? Would he have to die for each of them that he created? Would he have to become one of them also? I mean, how many? There's one God, eternally triune. I mean, this isn't Mormonism where we believe in a whole plethora of gods, deities, and divinities, you know? Moroni, yes, sir. Yes, sir, yes, sir. In our image. That's right. Well, you make an interesting point, because God said, let us, which we always, conservative, Bible-believing Christians, always have held that God was speaking to God. Just as we saw in the book of Zechariah, when we studied it, God speaks to God. That we see a glimpse of the Trinity in that, when God says, let us make man. Because we know that in the act of creation, all of God was involved in the creative act. Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1 also says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. John 1, we know that it was Christ who created all things. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. So we know the Father created, the Spirit created, the Son created. So when God said, let us make man in our own image, man, and uniquely man was made in the image of God. When I say uniquely, I'm talking about mankind, men and women. Made in the image of God, created by the triune God. So God was speaking to God. God did not consult with angels about the creation of man. He didn't consult with them. Job 38 specifically says He didn't. So, here's the thing. God created man. Man on this world, this earth, this is where God came, lived among us as a man. This is where Satan focuses his energies and efforts to deceive and to destroy. You might recall Job when God said, Satan, where have you been? He said, walking up and down on the earth. Walking up and down on the earth. That's what he does. You know, he's just looking to kill, steal, and destroy. So when you think about that, the earth is ground zero. This is where the conflict is between God and Satan, between heaven and hell. The conflict is right here in this world, this earth. This is the focus. This is ground zero. It's all centered right here. But as far as UFOs, ETs, extraterrestrials, and so forth, I would state absolutely, dogmatically, they are not visitors from other planets. Absolutely not. Without any hesitation, I would say that they are not visitors from other planets. How do you explain them? People see them if they're not from other planets. Well, I'm going to get to that in just a minute. And I'm going to tell you why we believe what we believe. And I think that we need to get this. We need to understand this, because it's one thing to say, well, it's demonic. But it's another thing to understand why we believe it's demonic, why we can say dogmatically it's demonic, and it's not possible that UFOs are visitors from another planet. Now, it hadn't been too long ago, I actually had a little confrontation with a fellow who is insists that, you know, the why they do that, they're out there. They're out there. They are out there, and they, you know, they visit, they hover around, they watch us, and, you know, and so on. I said, the only thing out there is devils. Now, there's angels and devils, but as far as UFOs and ETs, extraterrestrials, they are not visitors from other planets coming to planet Earth. Absolutely not. There are highly intelligent beings out there. Spiritual beings, though, not physical beings. I'm not saying they can't take on a physical presence, a physical manifestation, just like the angels did when they appeared to in Sodom. Angels took on a bodily, physical appearance. They looked like men. They walked like men. They talked like men. They ate like men. In fact, the Sodomites wanted to molest them, right? So, and angels took on physical shape and form. What's to say fallen angels can't do that? In fact, we know that they can. They absolutely can, because too many people have observed these manifestations in various ways, in occult circles and demons appearing to people and threatening people and so on. So think about some pretty strange things about UFOs and why they are not really physical phenomena, but they are that real phenomena, but not really physical presences unless they manifest in a physical way. They are able to defy gravity. They do things without propulsion. I mean, they can fly at astronomical speeds, and yet they never break the sound barrier. So, you know, anything physical that flies that fast is going to create all kind of commotion with sound. UFOs don't do that. But they'll fly a zillion miles an hour and stop on a dime and then go the opposite way or turn off at a sharp right angle and all that. So what could do that? Well, maybe the prince of the power of the air could do that, or his minions, right, who could certainly manifest in such a way without without a doubt. But let's see right here in Genesis why a belief in UFOs and extraterrestrials is incompatible with the Bible. And we're just going to look at a few verses because I want us to see that. Genesis 1. We're going to start at the beginning. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created. What did he create? He created the heaven and the earth. We read in verse 2, the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light, it was good. God divided the light from the darkness. He called the light day, the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now this is very, very interesting that God created the earth on day one. Now I want you to make a note of that because that's very important. The evening and the morning was the first day. He created light and darkness before he even created the sun, which we're going to see in just a moment. Verse 6, God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the water from the water. And God made the firmament, divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And the firmament here is really the atmosphere around the earth. The atmosphere encircling the earth. This is what it's talking about here. It was so. God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. God said, verse 9, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let dry land appear. And it was so. So now the earth, remember, was covered with water. It was without form. It was void. So now he's going to separate land from water. Verse 10, he called the dry land earth. The gathering together of the waters he called seas. God saw that it was good. He says in verse 11, now let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed and the fruit trees and which has a seed in itself. And it was so. Verse 12, and the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. God saw that it was good. The evening and the morning was, verse 13, the third day. The third day. Now notice verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven, in the atmosphere, to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And verse 16, God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, that would be our sun. The lesser light to rule the night, that would be our moon. He made the stars also. There you have him making all the stars. Right? There's the creation of the universe, the galaxies, the solar systems. He makes all of this. He set them in the firmament of the heaven. He put them all out there to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from the darkness. God saw that it was good. And notice verse 19. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Earth is older than any other planet. Earth is older, so how could there be intelligences out there that were evolved a billion years ago or 500 million years ago, and they have higher intellects and they're highly involved civilizations? They're going to come here and teach us. And they're younger than the earth. Even if it's just a few days, they're younger than the earth. Why? You know, the question, why did God put all of that out there? Well, verse 14 tells us, look, he set it out there, let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Well, guess what? By putting the planets out there, the stars out there, we have time. And we have seasons. And we have signs. And those signs in the skies, the stars being where they are, enabled us to navigate. people can navigate by day and by night. And not without it, but it's light. God had a purpose in all of it. This is what he said. This is what he did. So he did it for navigation. He did it to give us time. He did it to give us seasons. He did it to just display his glory. Psalms 19 and verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. The atmosphere, the earth, it all reveals the glory of the Creator. So there can be no older, highly evolved civilizations on other planets. They're actually younger than we are. Even if it's just a few days, they're younger than us. The only thing older than us, intelligences older than us, created beings older than us, would be the angelic hosts. And in Job 38, I want you to look over here with me. We're going to look at a few verses tonight. Job 38, I want to show you a couple of passages over here to show you what ancient intelligences there are or were. In Job 38, beginning in verse 4, you know, Job has been struggling with the Lord, with the trials that he's been going through. Verse 1 says, God answered him out of the whirlwind. Verse 2 says, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? The idea is, Job, you don't know what you're talking about. You think God may ever tell us such a thing when we ramble on or complain or mumble and grumble about how hard we have it or how difficult it is or why are we going through this? You think God might ever say, you don't know what you're talking about? Listen to this in verse 4. Well, he goes on and says, gird up your loins like a man, buckle up, and now I'm demanding of you I want some answers from you. He says in verse 4, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have any understanding, tell me, where were you? He says, who has laid the measures thereof? If you know, who has stretched the line upon it? You know how the carpenter will stretch his line, put out his tape, he'll measure, he'll put the plumb out, everything's going to be square and level. And were you, when I laid out the heavens, when I laid out the earth, were you there? Did you see me stretch the line out upon it? He says, verse 6, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? What did I connect it to? What did I nail it all together with? You know, where's the slab and so on and so forth? Who laid the cornerstone thereof? Where were you when I created all of this? Verse 7, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now here's an interesting revelation. When God created the earth and then later the sun, moon, stars, universe, threw it all out in space, when he created all of that, there were beings there observing it all and shouting for joy at the majesty of not only of God's power, but of God's creative beauty and the splendor of it all. They were there, they sang together, they shouted for joy. He's talking here about the angels. When the sons of God, literally the angels, that's how it's translated in many versions, when the angels saw it, witnessed it, so they were eyewitnesses of the creation. Now, we don't know how far long ago they were created. All we know is that sometime in eternity past, God created the angelic hosts. We also know that they were present at the creation of the world and the creation of the universe. But that's the only ancient intelligences that there were. You know, we're not talking about God himself, but as far as created beings, this is the only ancient intelligences. So, Earth was created in day one. The angels were already there to witness it. So there is an older intelligence than man's, but it's not from other planets. There are spiritual beings. They are spiritual beings, both good and bad. Now, I want to just think for a moment also about the Pope's astronomer who made the statement there could be intelligent life on other planets, and some of these aliens, he said, or he suggested, could be free from original sin. Okay? So let's say that they were created after, let's say, they're younger than the earth. No problem. They're younger than the earth, but they didn't sin like man sinned. Man sinned. And therefore, that set us back as, you know, forever, but they didn't sin, therefore they advanced far faster, much more highly developed, much more, they didn't have fallen minds, fallen brains, fallen intelligence. So they advanced, you know, in a spectacular manner, and now maybe these are the beings that are visiting us. Is there any particular problem you can think of with that view? I'm sorry? The earth was void, yeah, before the creation of God. Well, let me give you a couple of things that poke a lot of holes in that ship and will make it sink to the bottom really quick as far as that view is concerned. According to the Bible, man's sin affected everything. In fact, according to the Bible, man's sin affected all of creation. It affected all of creation. Everything that began with day one in Genesis 1:1 and right on through, everything was affected by the fall. Romans chapter 8 gives us a glimpse into that reality. So let's take a moment and read that. Romans 8. Y'all with me? All right. I'm trying to make sense of all of this and keep things in some sort of order. But because of man's sin, everything is unraveling. Death has touched the entire order of creation. Nothing is evolving. Everything is devolving because of man's sin. Romans 8 will begin in verse 18. For I reckon, Paul writes, that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, of creation, waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. He's saying creation, verse 19, creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because creation itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. Now, verse 22 is a very exhaustive, it's an exhaustive statement. It literally means every creature, everyone, has partaken of the fall, is affected by the fall, and is awaiting the final redemption that will come only when Christ returns and we get out of this body of flesh and blood that's no longer subject to pain and decrepitness and decay and death. The day will come when we'll be delivered from the body of this death. But Romans 8 says the fall affected every created person. Every creature that God created. Now, everything groans. The whole of creation groans. Nothing's left out. And because all of creation, all of the created order is affected, all of the physical created order is affected, because of that, God is going to destroy it all. Now, I want you to think about this. God, the Bible specifically says, God is going to destroy it all. All of the physical created order, not just earth, but the heavens. I want you to turn with me, 2 Peter chapter 3. Now, let's think about how this explodes the view that some of these beings could be without original sin. If they were without sin, why would God destroy them? Right? That's a ridiculous proposition. He says, verse 7, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, which exist, the heavens and the earth, right? Heavens and the earth, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Heavens and what else? Earth. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and God and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Verse 13, nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. How about that? Revelation 21 and verse 1, John the Revelator says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So that's the verse I like to use to refute the people who believe in a pre-Adamic world and a pre-Adamic earth, a pre-Adamic race of men, mankind before Adam. You know, there's a lot of people who preach that, that there was a world before this world. There was a earth before this earth in the sense that it was populated by a race of beings that God destroyed, and then he created this world. And that when you read in Genesis 1, you're actually reading about a recreation of the earth. They believe that the dinosaurs and all of that existed in this pre-Adamite world. And it's called the pre-Adamite theory, the pre-Adamite theory. Of course, that view holds no water. The Bible tells us that Adam was the first man. There wasn't a race of men before Adam. And we've got Revelation 21:1, the first earth and the first heavens will be destroyed by God with fervent heat when in that final day when he creates a new heaven and a new earth. But 2 Peter chapter 3, very clear. Heavens, even the heavens, the physical universe, is affected by man's fall. And it'll all be consumed. What about this? That the day is going to come when the Bible tells us that the heavens will be on fire. Verse 12, 2 Peter 3:12, the heavens being on fire shall melt. They'll be dissolved. They'll literally melt. So if there were beings on other planets that did not partake of sin, God would not be destroying all of that. Right? Right, they would have left their paradise, huh? They would be polluted just by coming to this world. So, you know, the idea here is that the whole idea is absurd, that there would be life on multiple planets, because there would be sinful life. Then. Could Christ become one of them and die for them as well when he is the eternal God-man? The Bible everywhere declares that it's man that's made in the image of God, that man is the epitome of God's creation, that all of this was actually given to man. Psalms 8 makes a tremendous declaration. Let me read this to you as well. Psalms 8. You can turn here if you like, or you can just listen. But Psalms 8, beginning in verse 1. Psalms 8, 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Verse 3. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. Now, I want us to look at verse 3 again. Look at it a little close. He says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, this is the work of your hands. You created this, this is what you did. And he names these things that God created, the work of his hands. The moon, the stars. So he's talking about all of these heavenly bodies, right? All of this universe. You did that. Then he goes on in verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? We're so small, and God, you are so big. Then he says, you have made him, you've made man a little lower than the angels. You've crowned him with glory and honor, because angels are greater in many respects. Greater in that they are more powerful beings, more intelligent beings. They stand in the presence of God. They have greater privilege in that sense. However, it was man and not angels that was made in the image of God. It was man God became one of. He didn't become an angel. He became a man. It was man that God died for, that literally God died for. Christ became man who died for man. So this is the glory. And that's his question. Who is man that you're so mindful of him? Then he says this, verse 6, thou madest him. Now he's talking about this man. You've made him to have dominion over the works of your hands and put all things under his feet. Now wait, what is the works of his hands? Now he certainly goes on and talks about the animal kingdom and the birds and the things in the seas. But if you remember verse 3, he says the stars, the moon, all of that is the work of your hands. So he said even that is under man's dominion. There aren't beings out there that are ETs, extraterrestrials, alien beings on other planets. There is no life on other planets. One of the founders of a cult, I think it was Brigham Young, the Mormon guy, who said that there are people living on the moon. They live on the moon. He said they dress like pilgrims. Yeah. But look, man was given all of this. So the point being, there is no life, beloved, on other planets, no inhabited planets, and anything that people see, UFO objects, it's not visitors from another planet, but it could very well be visitors from another dimension, from another realm. Yes, sir. Well, even if they found germs, that's not intelligent, advanced forms of life. Right, because all of these things are younger than Earth. They're not going to discover life on other planets. Now, let me tell you what they are discovering. That beings, some sort of beings, have been channeling through telepathy messages to people on the earth, all kinds of revelations people are getting from beings from other planets. They claim they're from other planets. But you want to keep in mind that there are intelligences older than men, but they're not physical beings, they're spiritual beings, they are fallen angels, they are demon spirits impersonating alien visitors, claiming that they're billions of years old and so forth. And one of the interesting things about these revelations and messages that they channel through their earthly mediums is they make it a point in almost every case to contradict the Bible. They specifically make it a point to deny the Bible, to list Jesus Christ as just one of many enlightened beings, as well as Buddha and Confucius and Muhammad and all the others. Yes, sir.
Everything he spoke tonight, all these science fiction writers like Hyland and Alexov are atheists.
Many of them. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's right. That's true. Absolutely true. But here is where this earth, this is where God planted mankind, man made in the very image of God. Here is where God became man. Here is where redemption for humanity was provided. And here, on this earth, this little bitty speck of dust in a vast universe, this is where God will return in physical form. He will return right here. In fact, he will establish his kingdom here, and he will reign here, the Bible says. He will reign here. He'll reign for 1,000 years, and then he'll reign here for all eternity. Let me read a couple of other verses to you that throw some light into this subject. Consider Philippians chapter 2. Let me read a verse or two. Philippians 2, verse 9. Speaking of Christ, who emptied himself, made himself of no reputation, humbled himself, made in the likeness of man. Philippians 2, 9. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. At the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Now look at this. Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There is no life on other planets where they have another Savior or some other manifestation. No, look, every knee will bow at the name of Jesus. They'll bow at the feet of Jesus and declare him to be who he is. Every knee will bow. Things in heaven. That doesn't include extraterrestrials, because there are none. But it certainly includes every order of created being, angelic being, and so forth. Well, you know, it is possible, because man has this drive to explore. And, you know, and this, of course, includes the angelic beings. All the angelic beings are going to declare him to be Lord. Even the ones that have fallen, they will have to acknowledge it before being judged and cast into the eternal lake of fire. Also, another passage in Colossians. I want to read a verse over here, chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, which says, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell," that is, in Christ, "in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth, things in heaven," there is no reconciliation to God apart from Jesus Christ. And of course, that's the message in this. So what are UFOs? If people see them, well, they're demonic manifestations. Clearly, they have no physical substance unless they materialize. And can they do that? Yes, they can. Because UFOs have actually been tracked on radar screens. At times, they actually appear on radar screens. There have been sightings by people who are very, upstanding members of the community, police departments, military people, airline pilots. Now, here's an interesting thing that I also want to mention, and I think this is another telling, one of those telling statements. UFOs have never been tracked entering into Earth's atmosphere. They don't come from outer space. They just suddenly appear in the air. And they, people see them, they track them occasionally on radar, but they are never sighted by some satellite coming in from, you know, outer space, entering into Earth's atmosphere like we track our satellites that we bring back, our spacecraft and all that. That's never happened, because they don't come from out there. They materialize in the Earth's atmosphere by the prince of the power of the air. And yes, ma'am, you had a question or a comment?
I've never been interested in that until I saw one. And what was very far from my brother Rubble off on the radio 18 years later. But what happened, I was going down the river road. It was about 10 in the morning. think that God would hear something like that. I really do. So a couple of years later, I went over to my sister's house. I was on my way to Zimbabwe Street by her house. And I said, Nana, put the radio on. I just saw UFO. So I thought sure it would be on the news around noon. But when he came home, and he was like, where did he hear the news? I saw a UFO. And I think, I guess that's what it is. I don't know, you know. But nothing came on the news. A couple of years later, on the radio, Brother Rolo came on a radio station. And he had five girls in the car that were going down a highway to sing at some church meeting that night. And he said, now you know you can believe what I'm saying. You know, I've been doing business with this radio station for years. You know, he was real wise boy. He described the exact same thing that I saw. And those five girls saw too. That's all I can say. I said, if you guys say yes, I mean,
well, there are things that sometimes people can explain in natural phenomena. Sometimes people can see things that they... Yes, ma'am. Well,
I mean,
certainly multitudes.
Because when you see things with your own eyes, nobody can tell you you didn't see that.
That's right. That's true.
Yeah.
Now, here's a few things that also we should keep in mind about these manifestations. Generally, when people see UFOs, it's at night. It's almost always at night. Rare exceptions, but generally it's almost always at night. Involved with this phenomena are several occult manifestations. For instance, telepathy. These beings, when they communicate, it's always telepathically. They always, you know, it's by, you just read their mind, they read your mind. They don't actually speak words, but you hear them, and so on. Telepathy is occult, as you and I should know. And it's one of those forbidden things that ESP, telepathy, clairvoyance, clairaudience, you know, all of these things are part of the occult. Also, not only do they communicate telepathically, which is the way they always communicate, there is astral travel involved, like astral travel, which is another occult practice, astral projection, astral travel. These beings just, you know, float in on a beam of light. People get caught up to the mother craft, a spaceship, whatever. They just float up there. You know, they have these astral out-of-body experiences and so on. Then there are many, many testimonies of people whose bodies are probed and even sexually molested and assaulted. There seems to be a great deal of interest in their sexual organs in these reports, people who are actually abducted by aliens and so on. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. Because if they really are beings from another world and they're highly evolved and they've got all this intelligence, what are they doing probing around with your genitals? You know, they're smarter than that, right? Than the probe. That'd be like you playing with a dog or playing with some other animal. We just don't do that. That's ridiculous. However, it is almost identical to the reports that people have given through the centuries of demonic molestation. Believe it or not, many people have reported being molested by demons in the same way that these UFO abductees are molested by the so-called aliens. Even you know, being raped and so on by demonic entities. I know people make fun of things like that. They say, you know, that's nonsense. Demons can't do that, blah, blah, blah. But such things are reported far too frequently to just dismiss. Yes, ma'am. Yes, chapter 6, yeah. Yeah. There is a biblical basis for that. But also, many of these people who claim that they were abducted by these aliens, probed by the aliens, and so forth, they become almost possessed. And they believe, they come to actually report that they believe that something has stolen their soul. In fact, I read a report. I want to see if I managed to copy it or if I forgot to. Oh yeah, this is it. I want you to listen to this. This is a fella who reported this. Abductees report that the aliens have compelling eyes and that they are afraid if they look into these eyes that they will lose their will or their sense of self. This fellow says, I recall an encounter at night with a spirit entity in the guise of an older woman sitting on my bed who stared intensely into my eyes. With no words being spoken, I knew she wanted my body, and I was saying over and over in my mind, no, you can't have me. The battle went on for what seemed like a long time until finally she faded away, leaving me mentally exhausted and frightened. There are those who would call this a dream or a hallucination. However, I was deeply involved in the occult at the time and had had other supernatural experiences. So I found that a pretty profound thing. And this guy goes on and says, the Bible is very clear that there is demon possession of the unsaved. Then this particular author says, a group of New Age witches I knew in Atlanta in the late 1980s had become involved in contacting what they believed were friendly aliens. The leader of the group told me personally that the spaceships could not be seen, but that his group was in telepathic contact with the aliens. The last time I spoke with him, John reported that the aliens had become unfriendly and were now trying to possess the bodies of those in his group. John was genuinely afraid, so afraid that he and several people in his group were leaving the area. This incident and my experience, supported by the Bible, validating possession, leads me to believe that these abductees are encountering demons. Not aliens, but you know, demon spirits. And then, I guess you'd say the last thing that would be a convincing argument that these are demonic entities is that just what somebody mentioned a little while ago, and that is that they bring about a change in one's worldview, one's religious beliefs, because they undermine the Bible. They teach a universalism type of religion, almost a pantheistic universal salvation type of religion, deny belief in hell, deny the Bible, introduction of the occult into one's everyday lifestyle. And so they undermine everything that is good, true, holy, right, just, pure, godly, and instill in its place the crazy belief of aliens bringing us a superior form of intelligence and morality, which is basically no morality, just the old immorality reintroduced. So that there is no sin, there's no such thing as sin, no such thing as salvation, we are our own saviors, and so on and so on. So, yes, sir.
My brother Ed and I had a client many years ago at Philadelphia Church, and we were talking in the salon about demons, and all, you know, we used to talk about that, all different things, you know, and this woman called us on the side after
Yeah.
And her instructor would ask her to project and come into her bedroom at night and try to assault her. And she would, didn't allow it to happen, but he repeatedly kept showing up there, just projecting himself there. And so she said she thought she was going crazy. She went and talked to her priest, and he told her not to worry about it. He belonged to Sylvan Mind Control Center, too. And she, we brought her to church and administered deliverance to her with candidate. And she said from that point on, the entity never, because she quit the place, it never came back.
Yeah.
Astral projection was true, because got a hairdresser from I knew him pretty well. Involved in drugs, and he assumed one of the meditative positions, and his spirit left his body, and he astral projected and came back. He said it scared him to death. But he verified some things, that he was passing through walls and everything, and saw faulty electrical circuits, and went and checked them out the next day, and they were indeed faulty what he had seen. But that's true.
It's real. It's demonic, but it's real.
It's demonic.
Right.
It's truly demonic.
Yeah.
And as far as the assault on people sexually,
right.
If you ever read Bloomberg's Battle, that was documented by the town mayor, the doctor, and everything else. Yeah. This woman used to come under assault from invisible entity.
Yeah. There have actually been not just hundreds, but thousands of reports through the history of not just the church, but in the secular world, of people molested by unseen entities that raped them, and all sorts of things like that. Something that they didn't see, but they could feel it. Feel its breath, smell its breath, all kinds of stuff like that. Just horrible things. But are demons real? Absolutely they're real. Do we need to fear them? No. You and I, through Jesus Christ, saved, delivered, protected. But let me also mention this word of caution. I do believe that this is part of the signs in the sky and the moon, the sun, the stars that the Bible speaks about in the last days. There's very likely to be an increase in the UFO phenomenon in the days, weeks, months, years ahead. Entirely possible. The whole intent, remember, undermine Christianity, undermine a faith in the Bible, instill a new worldview, prepare the world for the false coming Messiah, the Antichrist. And you and I, any time you have, you may have any kind of a phenomena experience like that, you recognize it for what it is right away. It's the devil. Rebuke it, resist it, refuse it. Cover your mind with the blood of Jesus, because look, it's a very cunning evil out there. Yes, ma'am.
Walking in along the beam. And again, it just
sometimes these things can be nightmares, but you know what nightmare actually means? A night demon. So I would rebuke those things. I'd plead the blood over me. I'd plead the blood over my whole house. I'd rebuke any kind of oppression, demonic entity, or anything. I'd rebuke it all from the house. Just plead the blood over the house. I know sometimes, you know, people mock at such things, but don't think that there isn't a real enemy out there. And don't think that you're powerless. You have power in Jesus Christ over the enemy, over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you, Jesus said, Luke 10:19. So, praise God. Yes, sir. They always go to Ezekiel.
No, this wasn't the wheel within the wheel. This was when Elijah got taken up in the
heavens. Oh, in the chariot?
It's a fire. Uh-huh. He said, that's just the way that they could describe that. When they have the chariots of fire, that means that was a UFO.
He was abducted by aliens. Huh? God help us. Amen. Amen. Well, Father, our prayer tonight is simply that we be encouraged and edified, Lord, to trust you, to stand on your word, to believe your word, to be strong in faith, and not be moved by signs in the heavens, the skies, or be seduced by the prince of the power of the air, Lord. And for your word, your truth, your salvation, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.